heading into Election Day and the days of vote counting that will follow, the information environment online has arguably never been worse. One of the major social media platforms is owned by a billionaire who is pushing false election conspiracy theories, and the former president is still almost daily calling into question the integrity of the vote. NPR's Miles Parks and Shannon Bond are here to talk with us about how all levels of government are preparing. Hey to you both.
Hey there.
Hi, Mary Louise.
I mean, when I say it's hard to imagine things online being worse, I'm thinking back to the 2020 election. We, of course, had all kinds of misinformation, and it contributed to thousands of people rioting at the U.S. Capitol. Shannon, you kick us off. Your reporting suggests the landscape this year might be worse.
Yeah, and as you said, I mean, there are some big factors here, including former President Trump, who continues to spread false claims about voting. And he is now being amplified by Elon Musk, the owner of X, who's become his most prominent surrogate. And on top of that, we're also seeing many of these falsehoods and divisive narratives being picked up and spread even further by foreign nations like Russia and Iran and China, who federal officials say are trying to sow chaos and discredit American democracy. We spoke with Kate Conley, who oversees election security issues for the Department of Homeland Security's cyber agency. Here's how she describes it.
Going into the 2024 election cycle, we are arguably facing the most complex threat environment compared to a prior cycle.
And so in the face of all that, Conley told us a big part of the strategy at the federal level is really to just amplify the voices of local election officials. She called those the signal through the noise.
Right. I mean, as you nod to, voting is run at the local level in the U.S., so you've got these thousands of local officials, Miles, but I mean, none of them have a megaphone that remotely compares to Elon Musk's or Donald Trump's.
They don't. And I think this cycle, they've started to kind of realize that. I talked about that with Carolina Lopez, who's a former election official from Miami-Dade County, who now runs an organization called the Partnership for Large Election Jurisdictions.
Election offices throughout the country spend a whole lot of time producing content for social media. And it always kills me when I see like three likes, and it's usually themselves and their mom. So I think election officials are trying to figure out, well, what else can I do to be heard?
So this cycle, what that looks like is a lot more press conferences and briefings for local news reporters and the public, just trying to educate people on exactly how their processes work ahead of the votes starting to be counted. These local election officials, though, are not really used to the limelight. Mm. But this cycle, there's just been this really, really clear recognition that they can't just sit back and wait and be defensive. They have to be proactive about some of this stuff.
And we're also seeing the federal government being more proactive, calling more of the stuff out publicly. Like just last week, there was this fake video going around of ballots being torn up in the swing state of Pennsylvania. And just a day later, we had intelligence officials come out publicly and say it was a Russian fake. We just haven't seen them move that quickly before. But I will say, Mary Louise, federal officials are really focused here on foreign actors who spread election lies. There's just not the same kind of effort to call out and warn Americans about, you know, falsehoods that might come from domestic sources. Of course, that can get into really fraught territory for the government because of the First Amendment. And it's also become a big line of attack for Republicans. And so that means a lot of this pushback and debunking is falling to local officials.
Okay, so that is some of what local and federal officials are trying to do. What about the tech platforms themselves? Because in past, of course, they have tried to limit the reach of false election information, and then they got accused of censorship. So Shannon, how are they approaching election information at this point?
I mean, the starkest change really is at X. Musk himself is a huge source of false and misleading information about voting. That has many people really worried, right? Because X is small, but it remains influential. But as you said, you know, there are these accusations of censorship, and we've seen other platforms, including Facebook and YouTube, also retreat from what had been more aggressive approaches to countering election lies in 2020. And what we've been hearing for several years now is that amid all this pressure, everyone is just much more gun-shy.
And then you add on top of that, what makes this really challenging for local election officials is that the landscape keeps changing. Isaac Kramer, who runs elections in South Carolina's Charleston County, told me he's been seeing a lot of false voting information on the community posting site Nextdoor, for instance.
It's difficult because there's a million different platforms out there, and we can't possibly have eyes on every platform and see what everything is being posted.
The time that voting officials are most worried about is after the vote has been completed, but counting is still going on. This information void has notoriously bred falsehoods, and Donald Trump has already made it clear he is not scared to declare victory even when he hasn't won.
I mean, these officials have spent years now talking to skeptical voters. Any evidence that outreach has worked?
I think there's some cautious optimism that people might be growing tired of the whole election denial narrative, but these internet platforms still reward sensationalist, partisan content, and until that changes, election officials are kind of fighting uphill.
It's NPR's Miles Parks and Shannon Bond. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.